Let's go to Canada now, where 8,000 oil workers at camps north of fire-ravaged Fort McMurray have now been ordered to evacuate, adding to the 88,000 residents already ordered out of the city. Workers had been trying to restart oil production, but hot, dry conditions returned to the region, making containing the fire even harder. Alberta officials have also released an app providing real-time satellite images of the damage in the area, and that includes the destruction of 2,400 homes and businesses. There's also a mental health hotline for those evacuees overcome by what they see. So what has life been like for the evacuees? Lisa Helsentager is the principal of Fort McMurray's Father Turcotte Elementary School. She had just minutes to decide what to do when the fire approached the school. She loaded kids and staff into a school bus and headed north to those oil camps that are now being evacuated before going back south, picking up stranded motorists and a woman in a wheelchair along the way. Lisa joins us now by Skype. And Lisa, you've been called a hero by the Canadian press. Tell us about that day.
We looked out that day. Our staff member had come back in from recess, and she saw the big black smoke, the plume, everything coming up from Abbasan, which is directly behind us. So it's a really 3-minute drive up the street. And quite a few of my staff live in that neighborhood, and so they were quite scared and upset. They knew they wanted to get to their homes and to their children that were in the school up there. So after contacting the principal of that school, and asked, what's going on up there? And she said she was calling for buses. So we got into place to just evacuate the one school. But immediately following that, we suddenly had two other schools showing up. So in the end, we had four schools to evacuate. That took us about 3 hours. And then when we realized there wasn't any more parents coming and there were flames getting close, everybody who was left in the school piled into the bus.
And there you went, taking you 6 hours to get, you know, something like 40 miles. And then when you're up there, and by the way, not a lot of food for these little kids, and many of the adults, no idea where your own families were, you decide to come back down. Now, this must have been harrowing because you had to then maybe drive near the fire to get out of it to the south.
Exactly. Once we got up to the camp, it was midnight by this time. We got a little bit of food. We had only had granola bars and water on the bus with us. And we realized after, you know, seeing how many people were there, that there wasn't going to be a whole lot of water supply, not a lot of food supply. And we heard that the road south had opened. And so our goal at that time was just to get away from the city. So we woke the students up, some of the staff up around 1:30 in the morning, asked the bus driver, you know, can you do this? And she was willing. So that was quite a decision to make. We really weren't sure what we were heading back towards.
Yeah, and you ended up, as we're hearing, in Edmonton with friends. We've been hearing, you just can't hear enough about this. It must have felt like end times. You know, your town is burning.
It was the strangest feeling, very surreal. You can't believe that you're going through this. Time was just passing without you even really noticing. Like, we were surprised that, you know, suddenly it's 4 o'clock, suddenly it's 6 o'clock. And we had heard all kinds of stories as well about what had burned. We'd heard our hospital had burned and our school was right beside the hospital, so we were worried about our school. And we'd heard about all of these hotels and gas stations.
Well, and now you have teachers who've learned they've lost homes. Maybe they'll be looking at this app to see pictures of the destruction. And you have no real idea what happens now. I mean, you can't just say go and have 88,000 people flood towards a town. So what's the sense of what's going to happen? What reentry is going to be like?
Oh, it's so so hard to comprehend what that is going to look like. And you're right, I have 9 of my own staff who did lose their houses that day. And we're hearing all kinds of stories, 10 days, 2 weeks, middle of July, so nobody really knows what the truth is or how long this is going to be. Right now, we do know that some school officials are going back up to check the schools. We know that people are there trying to clean the hospital. It has to be 100% sanitized. Grocery store owners and convenience store and gas station owners have gone back up. But as far as how do we let those of us living there in our houses go back, we have no idea.
So you wait and hear stories like maybe some of the ones we're hearing that, for instance, Syrian refugees in Canada are donating money to the fund to help you, to help Fort McMurray fire victims. These are refugees who were recently brought to the country. Some are giving their whole government allowance because they say they know what it's like to have to flee your town.
The support has been absolutely incredible, not just from within our own province, but from across the country. And when we hear that refugees are supporting us in that way, when they have very little to give as well, it's just so heartwarming. You certainly do feel for them and know what they have left in war-torn countries. And that's what our city is looking like right now. And so to be on the receiving end of that is a very humbling experience.
That's Lisa Hilsentager, a school principal from Fort McMurray, who had to evacuate a school bus full of kids and is now waiting in Edmonton with over 80,000 others to find out when they can go home. Lisa, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.